Thank you for calling the Dallas Story Hotline. This is The Skin Thing by Adrian Van Young. The skin thing dragged itself along on two great stalks that looked like elbows. Imagine a person out prone on the ground that drags himself by fits and starts. The elbows strove to gouge the earth as sharp and tall as circus poles, and they levered the body along by great drags. Its head stuck out eyeless, oblong as a horse's. Behind the elbow things it used to drag itself across the ground was stretched, like a laundry sheet strung out for drying, a tensile wall of thick pink skin. It was the height of four some men, and its body behind was a languishing tube, and its head, although eyeless, was snouted, with nostrils that sucked and blew as it grew near. Just one of us, McSorrels, had held ground. He was seeking, we think, to protect his allotments. It plucked him up inside his mouth, like the mouth of a puppet, and gobbled him down, or gummed him down. It had no teeth. The leg of his pants dangled out, disappearing. The skin thing ate his onions, too, and every several months or so, when the onions turned over their blooms into bushels, the skin thing would come on its elbows with huffs and take a couple more from us. It was to us a kind of god, especially now with a famine upon us, where every onion was a feast, and every extra mouth to feed another skin thing come to bleed us. We grew what we could and ate it, committees. We groaned ourselves to sleep at night. For scenery, we left the camp and walked among the lukewarm sands. How we colony members would placate the skin thing so early on was clear to us. It was not done by lottery. It was not done by penal system. It was done by the most sober practice at hand, which colonist produced the least. We didn't restrain them, these underproducers, but commanded them, rather, to stand in one spot with the tactic restraint of our eyes centered on them, and then as the sun that was not quite our sun began to go down in the sky that wasn't ours either, the skin thing would lurch from regions beyond and would stop, taking scent at the furthest allotment. It ate a couple of onions nearby, or maybe it took up no onions at all, just as sometimes it ate the appointed right there would save him, for after it left, as a snack. And then mournfully it would rotate around with its vast, unknownable sadness upon it, and it would lumber away through the barren white sands by what trackless instruction we little but knew. The underproducers didn't eat there, had a habit of looking behind them, unsure as though to ask us, must we still? But we too had a habit, which was to hold hands and to all close our eyes, and to sway humming faintly, and when the last person saw, at last, he was no longer welcome among his own kind, he would follow the skin thing, and we would just watch them, the skin thing ahead and the doomed one behind, as they crested the planet's horizon, until they were no longer ours. McSorrels came first, McNaff, McShea, McVanderslice, McGuinn, McGreaves, colonists total 240, colonists fed to the thing 36, colonists saved on account of this practice, not to mention the onions, 100, at least. Life was, for an instant, as right as it could be. Until the matter of McGrondick. He, being McGrondick, was just one of our number, just as any in the years since the McSorrels. But a father he was, in the full flesh of life, which was curious to us, so we leached of our own. There was McGrondick in the mess picking over his onions in no special hurry, a relaxed, dewy look to his under-eye skin. McGrondick was going through the camp with his harvest of onions arranged under a cheesecloth, and heavens, his basket, the way he bore it, simly poised. McGrondick, alongside his daughter, McGale, that raked up the sands that comprised their allotment, the pink and the clean muscle arm of them pushing and pulling back towards them, and pushing once more. Pursuant these sightings, we studied McGrondick, his comings and goings, the hours he kept, not only in public but on past occasions, but when McGrondick didn't know, when Miguel and McGrondick, his daughter and father, were all alone inside their home. This house, in the way of Oblivia's houses, was upon stilts for the copious storms, shrieking behemoth winds, and white sands that tore across the fallow steppe, and Miguel and McGrondick would putter about against the backlit pane. But time after time, they were not in the house. We could see them through the windows. They were not lying down. We accounted for that. We wondered. McGrondick, where was he? Where is McGrondick? When we are just here. That was The Skin Thing by Adrian Van Young. For previous Dial of Stories, visit the archive at kirkwoodpubliclibrary.org.